Our last reading this morning is the rest of chapter 12. Beside being wise, the teacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs. The teacher sought to find pleasing words, and he wrote words of truth and plainly. The sayings of the wise are the goals, and the nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings that are given one by one shepherd. Of anything beyond these, my child, beware. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all that has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Imagine with me for a moment about a young boy who's gifted a brand new bicycle. It's everything that he had been hoping for. Bright red with the cool grip handlebars, and even it's got a little bell. He'd long dreamed about zooming down the streets of his neighborhood in a bike as beautiful and as fast as this. He was excited at first. Even rode the bike several times around the driveway, but then it started to rain, so he thought, I better stop. I'll ride tomorrow, he thought. But then tomorrow came, and he had baseball practice and then homework after that. Well, then this weekend, I'll get to the bike. But that weekend, a friend of his invited him over to play a new video game. Every time he walked by the bike in the garage, he thought, I'll ride that one of these days. The days turned to weeks, and the weeks turned to months, and the months turned to years. Until one day, he walked by the garage, and he finally decided to pull the bike out. But by then, the bike looked and felt a lot different than he remembered. The paint was faded, the handlebars had cracked, the tires were deflated, the chain was rusted and stuck, not even the bell worked. And now he had grown so much that the bike was too small. He looked at his bike, once a gift with endless possibilities, and realized that he had waited too long to use it. And now that he wanted to, he couldn't. Friends, our reading today in Ecclesiastes reminds us that to remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come, this is not because God changes or disappears, but because there comes a time in which the joy in which God has made us to live in might get harder and harder to access. A time when the body doesn't respond like it once did, and the things that we once planned, those things we plan to do someday, no longer wait for us. Friends, will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for the wisdom and for the teacher of Ecclesiastes and for the journey that we've been on these past 4 weeks. We pray that we might tap into the wisdom of your Spirit as we go forth from this place seeking to live in this moment and see it as the gift that it is. God, we give you thanks for that and for so many other things that are blessings in our lives. We ask that you guide and direct us by the power of your Spirit this day and forevermore. Amen. Well, friends, we have been doing this work of Ecclesiastes, this long map from the Bible Project that you also have in your insert in your bulletin. We've been at this work of Ecclesiastes for 4 weeks. And perhaps fittingly, or perhaps frustratingly, we end in almost exactly the same place that we started. We find another passage that can feel a bit heavy on the surface. A passage that talks about how our bodies stiffen and don't move like they used to, which, first of all, rude. No one asked for your opinion, okay? And a passage where we get the phrase that started our whole book off, vanity of vanities, the teacher says, all is vanities. And you heard Pastor Megan explain that that word in Hebrew can be translated in a lot of different ways, meaningless, vanity, mist, vapor, vapor of vapors, it's all vapor. But perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that this is where we end where we began, because all throughout the book, each week as we've done this deep dive in Ecclesiastes, we find a different variation of that same truth. We heard that all things that we put our power and status in, like money and titles, all of those things will someday be dust. And we heard stark warnings from Ecclesiastes about those who choose to oppress others in the pursuit of these things that will one day fade away. We heard that there's a time and a place for everything under heaven. And in that famous list in Ecclesiastes 3, we have a lot of good things, as well as a lot of things that weigh us down. We see this sacred rhythm, this sort of holy flow of a life of faith, a life with God that includes the good and sometimes the not good. How do we be present in every moment? We learned in Ecclesiastes that we all share the same fate. The powerful, the rich, the poor, the oppressed, we are all finite, trying to make meaning in the midst of an infinite love and spirit of God. And today we hear a warning of not to delay the work that is before us. We have to face the tough reality that for some of us in the room who are not in our youth anymore, our bodies may start to feel like that bike in the opening image, stiff, rusty, tired. The truth of this passage in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes is not to wait on how we remember or respond to God, friends, because we are never promised tomorrow. And once the days of troubles come, as the writer of Ecclesiastes say, whether that be in our old age with our bodies or the days of difficulties in our world, we may not have the same ability or faculties to respond in the ways that we can do now, in the present moment. So our journey's been a circle of sorts. And since we end with some of the same scripture that we started with, we also are to end with the same question that Pastor Megan asked us on the first week. In the midst of all the truths and the wisdom that we've unpacked in this bit of wisdom literature, the question becomes, how do we live in this wisdom and truth that the book of Ecclesiastes has to offer? How do we live? I was intrigued to learn that Ecclesiastes finds its way into the lectionary this week. Some of you know the lectionary, that three-year cycle of biblical texts that gives us a very broad, very good broad overview of the biblical story. It's a tool developed by lots of different Christians across lots of different denominational expressions, and the idea was for churches who use the lectionary that Christians all across the world have a common scriptural experience every Sunday in worship. And Ecclesiastes only appears twice in the lectionary, this one this week, which is Ecclesiastes 1 and a section of chapter 2, and then the only appears one other time in the lectionary, which is Ecclesiastes 3, a time and a purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, that famous passage. But what's interesting is if you look more with the pairing of Ecclesiastes, the gospel reading in the lectionary this week comes from Luke chapter 12, where Jesus tells a somewhat famous story about a man who had an abundant harvest, but did not respond to that with abundance. We had a chance to talk about this in our Thursday morning Bible study this week, and several profound truths emerged as a part of our reading with Ecclesiastes as well. You see, Jesus tells this story in Luke 12 where the land of a man produced abundantly, but he saw it that rather than to share that abundance, he tried to build bigger barns. But what intrigues me about this work, the reason I even reference Luke 12 in the first place, is that the man justifies this move by quoting Ecclesiastes 3. Well, sort of. He says to himself, I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all of my grain and all of my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Those words, eat, drink, and be merry, do find their ways in Ecclesiastes 3, actually several times throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. But the man in Jesus' story uses them in a future tense. One day, when I get what I think is enough, when I've finally done all that I wanted to accomplish, then I can finally enjoy life. But friends, he never gets that chance. Because the story in Luke 12 tells us that on that very night, he dies. And he faces God, and God faces him with a very pointed question that I believe is for us as well. He says, those things that you've prepared, whose will they be now? One commentator on this section of Scripture makes it plain. The man seems to have forgotten a truth that we all might be tempted to forget, and that's this. There are no storage facilities in heaven. The wisdom that Ecclesiastes gives us is that when we recognize that all we have is temporary and finite, we are freed to find our fullest joy here and now. You see, eat, drink, and be merry is not future tense, it's present tense. It's not longing for some unrealized future that may or may not happen. It's not waiting for tomorrow to make meaning of your life. It's being freed in each moment, the good and the painful, the hope and the sorrow, the weeping and the laughing, the mourning and the dancing. It's being freed in each moment to see the gift that is before us by the grace of God. If the man really wanted to live out the truth of Ecclesiastes, he wouldn't have built bigger barns. He would have hosted a barbecue. He would have invited the whole neighborhood, maybe even the whole city, to share in this moment of abundance and joy, a moment that may not come next harvest season. But it's here, and it's now. The man planned for a future, and he missed the gift of what was right in front of him. And this truth has been echoing throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, all throughout our study. Back in chapter 5, we heard it said, "This is what I've observed to be good. It's appropriate that a person eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given them, for this is their lot." In a world where bikes rust and bodies weaken, the best time to find joy and the fullness of life that God has given us, friends, is right now. So how shall we live? Throughout the journey of Ecclesiastes, our teacher, our questioner, our leader, the writer of the book, has been leading us on this search for meaning and truth. And as we've unpacked this journey, we are led to a somewhat ironic conclusion. In a world where all of our possessions and all of our things that we place value and worth in a world where we are told where all of that turns to vapor, ironically, it's the things that we can't hold on to that give us the most meaning. The things that we can't touch that bring substance and reality into our existence. Things like relationships, love, beauty, joy, presence. These are the things that matter. These are the things that give our lives meaning. These are the things that remain. The end of our chapter today gives us as much of a summary statement of Ecclesiastes that we are ever going to get. In verse 13, the writer simply says this, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of everyone." This Hebrew word here translated as fear can also mean be reverent towards God, stand in awe of God, be aware of God's presence that is larger than your own. Be aware of God's presence and keep his commandments. This is the summary statement of our book and our journey. And perhaps appropriately, this little bit of condensed wisdom finds itself showing up again and again for me in all aspects of life. These words are put in different contexts and in different phrasings, but that truth remains. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous reminds us and gives us a chance to recognize that there is a power greater than ourselves. We utter the phrase, "one nation under God," to invite us, even in civic spaces, to zoom out and recognize God's power and presence. Even the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, had a summation of this truth when he offered his three simple rules: do no harm, do all the good you can, and stay in love with God. Be aware of this presence of God and do what God is asking you to do. The teacher in Ecclesiastes warns us that of making many books there is no end, and to much study is a weariness of flesh. Friends, it's true that we can look in all sorts of places for truth that will answer those questions that we're looking for. It's no secret that the self-help aisle and the religious and spirituality aisles of the bookstore are very well attended and make lots of money trying to answer those very questions. We can read far and wide for answers, but I wonder if the simple truth of Ecclesiastes was in front of us the whole time. Fear God and keep his commandments. Everything past that is out of our control. It's up to God. This is what our teacher has been pointing us towards the whole time. And this is the secret of Ecclesiastes. There's a scene in one of the last episodes of The Office, a show often quoted from this pulpit, in which one of the characters, Andy Bernard, is reflecting on a good time with friends that has now come to an end. In reflection, he offers this nostalgic sentiment. He says, "I wish there was a way to know that you were in the good old days before you've actually left them." This resonates deeply with me on a soul level. Oftentimes, we think the best times have passed us by, Or perhaps we think the best days are yet to come. Perhaps Andy would have done well to read the book of Ecclesiastes, to know that we are in the good old days right now. We aren't promised tomorrow, so today is the greatest gift we have. Friends, may we be those who can recognize the gift and the beauty of each fragile moment that is before us. May we have the capacity to see the glory of God in each present moment. And may we learn how to eat, drink, and be merry, knowing that the good old days haven't left us, but they're here with us in each present moment, here and now. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.